race of faith. And here in Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, the Hebrew writer helps us to focus our eyes where our eyes need to be focused. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, and you can start the tape, Bob, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Amen. This morning we want to talk about running that race that has been set before us by fixing our eyes on Jesus and running this race of faith. You're never going to get to the finish line that means anything unless you run it by faith. The Bible tells us, "For without faith, it is impossible to please God." So without faith, it's impossible to run this race. Without faith, it's impossible to finish this race. Without faith, you run this race in vain. How many of you have gone, endeavored to go somewhere, and you've been using the wrong directions? Or you come to find out somewhere along the way that you've gone the wrong way and now you're lost. Well, we want to run this race with faith so we don't run it in vain, and that we don't run it that we wind up finding ourselves lost. The race of faith is one focused on the substance of things hoped for and focused on the evidence of things not seen. The eyes are on the prize, and we walk towards them, or him, we should say. The emphasis continues from our Hebrews writer's earlier chapters, where he gives us a warning against developing an unbelief of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews 6, he tells us that our faith needs to endure. He continues that lesson in Hebrews 10, the great hall of faith chapter. And of chapter 11, here he tells us that we must continue by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. He tells us we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and he named them one by one in the previous chapter. The cloud of witnesses refers to those mentioned, those Old Testament saints like Abraham. He ran the race of faith. He talked about Moses, who ran the race of faith. And he goes on talking man after man, each Old Testament prophet and witness, that we are surrounded by them and we should run a race similar to theirs. Amen. They didn't know where heaven was, didn't even know oftentimes where God was sending them, but they ran that race by faith. One day God told Abraham to get up and go to a place that I'll show you. How can you run that race? We don't even know where the finish line is. You do it by running by faith, by obeying God's commands, and then you'll finish your course. We recognize that these great cloud of witnesses bear a testimony for us, that by their lives they bear witness to the value of faith in running life's race. How could they do it without recognizing and having an abiding faith in a God who would never disappoint them, who was always able to get them to the place that they needed to be? In their darkest times and in their darkest hours, it wasn't their own strength that delivered them.
Yes, sir. Preach.
It was a God who loved them and knew how to get them and help them to finish their course. As we look at these great cloud of witnesses, there's some things that we can bring out and come to learn for ourselves. Notice in Hebrews 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," pay attention to this, "let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. If you want to run the race of faith, you got to throw off some things. You have to shed some things. You have to get rid of some things. We need to lay some things aside. There's some things that we have to leave alone if we're going to run this race of faith. Note the comparison to running that the Hebrew writer uses. He says, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We recognize that we've been using track as an analogy all throughout these lessons. And track is one of my favorite sports. But haven't you noticed that recently in anything running fast or anything that takes endurance, that the runners try to put off as much weight as possible? They try to put away everything that hinders them from lasting in this race and everything that keeps them from running the race the best that they could possibly run it. And we're the same way. There's some things that we have to put aside. There's some ways of thinking that are ways we used to think that we need to put aside. There's some things that happen in your mama and daddy's house that you need to put aside. There's a way that you thought was right, but it ends in death. Those things need to be set aside. There's some things that we need to lay to the side. We need to leave alone to take on God's ways. Athletes, modern athletes today, wear clothing that is light and it allows freedom of movement. Excess weight, chafing clothes can be the difference between victory or defeat in today's technological races. Amen. So we too have to do the same. Lay aside those things that keep us from running this race of faith. And all you have to do is look at your life. Most of these things are very evident. Most of these things, the person closest to you is telling you what these things are. They're trying to tell you, you need to put this away. You need to stop doing this if we're going to run this race of faith. And if you want to finish your course, you need to be faithful and lay those things aside. We have to do that. Every weight, things which slow us down, things which keep us from spiritually progressing, such as drunkenness, the cares of this life, and carousing, Jesus brings up in Luke 21. Verses 34 through 36. Paul brings about in the book of Colossians. Peter talks about in 1 Peter 2. And James brings up things that are every weight. Things like anger and things like wrath. Things like malice and things like blasphemy. Things like filthy language. Things like envy. Things like greed. Things like lewdness. Things like sexual immorality. All these things are extra weights that are encumbering us, causing us to sin, and keeping us from running this life, this race of faith. Amen. Steadfastness and faithfulness need to be added that we would finish our course. The sin which so easily ensnares us, that the Hebrew writer refers to in this first verse, is any and all sins that need to be laid aside. From the text, we understand that the sin that he talks about is the sin of unbelief. The epistle was written to encourage faithfulness by God's people, a faithfulness in Christ and his new covenant. We've seen warnings against this unbelief in Hebrews chapter 3. And when one no longer believes, in Hebrews 10, he says the race is lost when we believe no longer. With the full assurance of faith, and with every hindrance laid aside, then we can run life's race with faith as God intended it. But as we comprehend the true nature of the course that is set before us, we see that the road can be difficult. The road can be vague as well. We recognize that we can appreciate the need for the element of endurance in everything that we do. How is it that we give God so much time before we start seeing results and start trying something else? Why is it that God is the one that we're always testing and not recognizing the test that God is putting on us? Why is it that we always want to make God run the way we want him to run and not trying to find out the way God is trying to get us to straighten out our course and run life's race? We have to recognize that God is doing his best for us, giving us his best so that we in the end would finish our course and have salvation and heaven be our home. So we need to have endurance in this race. The race of faith is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It does not require one to have a quick burst of energy in which the race is soon over. No, this race requires a sustained effort over time. It's a getting in the blocks, starting off in the race, and keep on running. You know, my track coach used to tell us to keep running till you can't run anymore. And he had an idea behind that. The idea was is that we would catch our second wind. And we would have a new revitalization in that second wind. Once we have then extended all of our own thoughts and abilities and have taken ourselves as far as we can go, then our training would kick in and carry us even more. I want you to know that in the life that you're running, that's how you start off in this race. You start off as a natural man, and you run as the natural man runs in this world. But somewhere along the way, with God's help, you catch a second wind, and then God carries you the rest of the way. That second wind only comes by faith. That second wind only comes through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't finish this race on your own power. You need some additional help. You need some additional assistance in order to get to the finish line. That's our second wind, our second birth, us being born again, having new legs, becoming a new creation. Now we have begun our course, but through God, with God's help, we're able to finish that course. This endurance comes from the scriptures. Endurance is a necessary quality in running the race of faith. Jesus often taught his disciples concerning the need of endurance. You can call it patience. You can call it long-suffering. You can call it whatever you like. In the parable of the sower, we see that those that received the word of God and quickly sprouted up did not finish the race. We see in preparing the disciples for the limited commission, in Matthew 10 and 22, Jesus said, "All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." Amen. Jesus is telling us we need endurance to finish the race of faith. On the Mount of Olives, Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 13, "But he who stands firm to the end will be saved." Jesus was always talking about patience and endurance, staying the course and fighting the good fight of faith. The writer of Hebrews stretched the same virtue earlier as well, in which he appealed to the example of Abraham. The Hebrew writer says this in Hebrews 6, verses 11 through 15. He says, "We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." If you want to run the race of faith, if you're going to receive what is promised at the end, you have to endure. You have to be patient. Now that word endurance lets us know that there is not just patience involved, but there's some things we're going to have to endure. There's some things we're going to have to suffer. There's some obstacles that are going to pop up in our way. Why is it that whenever somebody starts running a good old race, somebody gets in the way? Why is it that when everything seems to be going right, the bottom falls out? Or some obstacle comes up in the way? That's because we're going to have to endure in this race called life. That's because that God has made a way around all these things and through these things that we might finish our course. The Hebrew writer is letting us know that Abraham endured some things, but in the end, the reason why he finished the race was because of his faith. Amen. In the end, even the New Testament writer said And Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. It was Abraham's faith that got him through to the end. You know, these Old Testament folks lived a long time too, Brother Akins. Yes, they had to have faith for hundreds and hundreds of years, Brother Dice. And I don't know, if I get a good 70, 80 years, I think you can go ahead and pull the pin. I don't need to go 700 years, and you know, no Methuselah needed here. But we have to run that race of faith, because that 70 years can seem like 700, can't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Even in the moment of one obstacle in our life, it seems like a lifetime just goes through. Ask anybody struggling in a marriage today. Ask anybody struggling with a sin today. Ask anybody who's trying to do right in the midst of wrong. 1 hour can seem like a lifetime. The only way you get through that is with faith. You have to trust God and stop trusting yourself. Your salvation is not found in your spouse. Even the greatest example of how you can live is not found in that one that you love and have told God you'll spend the rest of your days with. The way you're going to get through that marriage, the way you're going to get through that hardship, the way you're going to get through those difficulties is having faith in God. And God alone. And I want you to know that your situation may not change, because you're going to still be married to that same old hard-headed spouse. I want you to know your situation is not going to change. You're still going to be stuck in that valley, and the difficulties of life will still come your way. But our God is still able to get you through, even in the midst of your difficulties, even in the midst of difficult times. Boy, I have a empathy for old Job. He was obviously a righteous man.
Yes, sir.
He even offered a sacrifice for his children
just in case
they had sinned. This is a man who had a heart for God.
Yes.
But here we see that when temptation came his way, that the one closest to him asked, why don't you just curse God and die? Boy, that had to be tough.
Yes,
but here's a man who has some faith. And he said it right. Should I only receive good things from God and not bad? Faith allows you to say that. Because the faith of the world today is that God would only give good things, that he wouldn't allow bad things. So it's going to take some faith in order for us to finish this race. It's also going to take some focus. Verses 2 and 3 of our text in Hebrews 12 talk about fixing our eyes on Jesus. We must look onto Jesus. You will never finish life's race with salvation as the finish line if your eyes are not fixed on Jesus. You see, because that's where salvation is. When I got in the blocks, I was a quarter miler at Proviso East High School. And when I came around that last turn, there is a strong what we call the monkey on your back. rigor mortis sets in. And you just trying everything you can to get to the end. And you think you're moving fast, but everybody looking at you is like, what is wrong with him? And you have this tendency to look down at your feet. But our coach told us and trained us that you just look at the finish line. So you see, when you look at your feet, all you see is the race that you're struggling in. But if you look at the finish line, you notice something. You're getting closer and closer and closer. But that's what we have to do. Today is a day of salvation, and we must fix our eyes on Jesus, for the day has been appointed that he would return. And today marks another day that day is getting closer and closer. Some of us have a lot of years behind our name. Our birthdays are many, and the time that we spent on this earth is more than the time that we're going to spend. That time, you need to have your eyes fixed on Jesus, because he'll help you finish this course. Oh, I've come to that realization too. 45, going on 21. Oh, I'm lying already. I'm 46. I'm 46. Going on 46. How young we run again. And it hit me really hard the previous couple weeks ago. It's like, man, I've lived longer than I probably will live the rest of my life. And I really started thinking, and I'm a preacher. What have I done with my life? Have I really run the race of faith? And when I really measure my life according to these scriptures, they do not measure up. I have not fulfilled what God has called me to. So now I have to have my eyes fixed that much more. You see, I've been running life's race like rigor mortis has set in, like there's a monkey on my back. I've not run it the best that I have, the best that I can. But the rest of the days that God has given to me, I have to use them by fixing my eyes on Jesus and moving closer and closer to Him. And my wife, she can't stop me. I've got to keep moving. I want her to come with me, but she can't stop me. My eyes have to be on Jesus and not on her. I love my children, but they disappoint me sometimes. But I can't let that stop me. I got to fix my eyes on Jesus and finish that race and be an example to them that they might follow from the good deeds that I've done. You have to focus on Christ because that is the only way. And we have a tendency to blame everybody and everything else, don't we? But what about so-and-so and what he did? But what about my upbringing and my parents? But what about I didn't have this and I didn't have that? You have to put that behind you and keep moving forward by fixing your eyes on Christ that you might finish life's race. Our focus has to be upon the Lord and the race that we run. Our glance must always be, our glaze always affixed on our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, if you want to be distressed in your life, then just look within. If you want to be defeated in your life, then just keep looking back. If you want to be distracted in this life, then just look around at everything else. If you want to be dismayed in this life, then just look ahead to things not promised nor ever received. If you want to be delivered in this life, you need to fix your eyes on Jesus. Look up at Him and His way, and you'll finish life's race. For Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, Hebrews 2 and 10. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, Revelation tells us. He has blazed a trail for us. He has finished His course, and He has set before us the way that we should go. Who else should we be looking at?
That's right.
Who else knows the way to the Father?
That's right.
How else can we get there unless we do what He did and follow and proceed after Him? Now, it helps us to finish this race ourselves, of course. He's allowed us to do that by opening a new and living way for us. We have to succeed in running this race by looking at it as joy. Old James talked about it, didn't he?
Yes.
Consider it joy when you fall into divers temptations and all types of manner. But what you're saying is this race that has been set out before us, that's joy. That's joy. Oh, I didn't think it was joy when I got in the blocks of that quarter mile. But it was joy when I found myself winning the race. It was joy when I finished the race. It was joy from the achievement. Even if I didn't come in first, there was joy. And this race called life, you need to consider it joy. Even though there are temptations in this life, even though there are troubles in this life, even though you make mistakes in this life, you need to consider it joy. For that's what Jesus did. You see, Jesus was in heaven, and the Father called Him to come to earth. And He had a particular thing for Him to do. And Jesus, being God, could see the beginning, see the end at the beginning. He knew the troubles he would have to sustain in his lifetime. And Jesus didn't fall in the back of the crowd. You know how people is, you ask for volunteers to do something. You know how it is here. When you ask people to do things, you know, they could be in the front, but all of a sudden they wind up in the back. They hand me down here somewhere, hoping that you don't see them. No, Jesus came to the front of the line.
Yes, he did.
He volunteered his services to the Father. And he obediently came down here and did what the Father required of him. He considered it, the Hebrew writer said, considered it joy to do the Father's will and complete the race. We have got to do the same thing. If we're going to finish this race of faith, we have to fix our eyes on Jesus and consider this race joy. But Brother Johnson, you don't know the kind of pain and the agony that I'm in. You don't know my situation, Brother Johnson. It's a difficult one. And you're telling me I'm supposed to consider that all joy? Well, we go back to our example. You don't know what Jesus went through for you. You can read a couple chapters here and there about some of the stuff he went through. I think we read that Jesus was spit on, right? That Jesus was slapped at his trial, right? And told, who hit you? You God, who hit you? I read somewhere that Jesus was chased from town to town. That the religious leaders of that day pursued him, wanting to kill him day after day. He considered that joy because he was doing the Father's will. If he could do that, we could do the same in our situations as well. Now, joy is not jumping up and down and being what we consider to be happy. But joy is a state of blessedness. Joy is a disposition in which you live your life. Joy is recognizing you might be in the storm, but soon the storm will wane and it'll be over. It might be cloudy skies today, but there could be clear skies tomorrow. Joy doesn't allow you to sink in your circumstances. Joy allows you to walk on water by fixing your eyes on Jesus. Not worried about the cloudy skies, but recognizing clear skies are on their way. Oh, I'm having trouble in this world. Ah, you name the trouble, I'm having it. Just like you. I got trouble with that guy named Bill. I got trouble. I got trouble on my job. They don't want to sign the contract. I got trouble with this church because people don't want to act right. I got trouble getting my sermons together. I got troubles with my wife. I got troubles with my kids. But I tell you what, I consider this life a joy. I consider this life a blessing. I consider that one day it won't always be that way. And that everything that I'm going through today will have been well worth it of what I receive tomorrow by finishing my course and inheriting the promises that have been promised by God. You do that by considering him. This is what's in Hebrews. I'm going through it quick. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Run the race with endurance. Consider the things set before you with joy, a state of blessedness. And consider Christ in everything you do. Consider how he endured not only the cross, but even before the cross, when he endured hostility from sinners against him, and even from those that considered themselves righteous. Just like a wife who would say to Job, why don't you just curse God and die? This hostility is something that he experienced frequently. And I know that we can experience it as well. The joy that I live this life lets me know through God's word that there is nothing he will put on me that I cannot bear. And lets me know that God trusts me in these difficult times that I'm having. And if I'm going to get through those difficult times, I have to trust him and do his will and follow his commands. Meditating upon the Lord will prevent us from becoming weary and discouraged in our soul. Meditating on him and considering the Lord is an example. Here we learn on waiting on the Lord. Even Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 31 tells us to wait on the Lord and not grow weary and not faint. So we have to run this race of faith because it requires both negative and positive existence. It's a valley of hills, peaks, and valleys. We're up, and we're down. But we have to fix our eyes on Christ. Endure everything that life has to offer and consider it with joy. A life that has been a blessing. Think about it. Aren't you lucky to be living today?
Amen.
Hasn't God blessed you beyond your wildest dreams?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's some things that you would like to have, but aren't those things really the things of your own selfish desires? Isn't the real reason I want $1 million in the bank? Isn't the real reason because that's what I want and not what God wants? Isn't the real reason Brother Akins wants to be handsome instead of Brother Akins? Isn't the real reason his own selfish desires?
Yes.
He said that himself.
Yes.
I'm not even... Everybody looking at me funny. Ooh, that was mean. It's our own selfish desires that get in the way. But once we consider the blessing of life and breath that God has given to us, then we consider it all joy that he's allowed me to be in the situations that I'm in. And I look forward for the deliverance. I have a true expectation of hope in every difficulty that I'm in. You have to learn how to do the same. We all do. That allows us to look beyond our circumstances and recognize that our God, who is faithful, will deliver us in the end. Aren't you looking forward to that? Your faith will let you know that this life is not the only life that God has in store for you. Your faithfulness will bring you to an understanding that God has appointed a day to judge all men. He's appointed a day that his son will return. That day he'll say, go get him and bring him home. Our faithfulness and our faith allows us to recognize that this earth will be done away with, and a new heaven and a new earth will take its place. And I look forward to that day when I'm able to walk with all the saints and talk with all the saints and sing with all the saints and praise with all the saints for all eternity, where every tear shall be wiped away and every pain shall be done away with. And for me, this is for me, I get a taste of that every Lord's Day. For me, I get a feeling of that. For every experience I have with you, God's people. Don't you want the same? Don't you want the body of Christ to touch you in that way as well? Then you need to begin your race in the race that God has set out before you. This is how you do it. You have to hear God's word. So if you're going to run this race with faith, you have to hear the word of faith. That's how you get started, by hearing the word of God, because that's how faith comes. Isn't that what the Bible says? Faith comes, and we want to run this race by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and not just hearing anything, because there's a lot of talking going on in the world. There's a lot of preachers in the world. There's a lot of doctrines in the world, a lot of commandments in the world, but only the faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we use scripture as our sermon text, and scripture all throughout our sermons, so that you know that you're hearing the word of God, because it is the word of God that saves us in the end. What did Paul say? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power unto God, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile, unto salvation. So you start your race by hearing the word of God. Everybody here this morning has heard the word of God.
Amen.
You're in a position right now, at this very moment, to begin the race of faith. But there's more that needs to be done. After hearing, you have to believe. Belief is not a mental exercise. It's not something that you just do in your head. Belief is what you do. It's the action that is demonstrated upon what you have just heard. And this is what you're hearing, the very word of God that is able to save your soul.